This is the Kona Edge, the home of Ironman triathletes who dream of qualifying for the World Championships on the Big Island.
Welcome onto yet another edition of the Kona Edge. My name is Brad Brown. It is Wednesday, and that means it's Story Day, and I get to share another pretty cool story today. And this one I'm quite excited to share because it is very, very close to home. It's someone that I know fairly well. He's a colleague of my brother's, and when I got into the sport of triathlon, he was the first real racing snake that I ever got to see race and race hard. He's a phenomenal athlete, and he's an amazing guy as well, and I'm pretty excited to share his story and about his first visit to the Big Island in 2017. It's all coming up on today's podcast. Don't forget as well, we've got some cool things in the pipeline coming up here at TKE, and if you'd like to be part of it, one of the things we are going to be trialing is recording a live podcast on Facebook. So if you would like to be part of it, and the reason I want to do it is because I want this podcast to be interactive and I want you to be part of it. So if you have any questions, I'm sure there are, because I listen to podcasts and interview podcasts, and there's things that I'd like to know, and I'm almost screaming at the interviewer saying, ask this, ask this. And if you don't have that two-way communication, it's pretty difficult to know as an interviewer what you as part of our community would like to hear. So I want to give you the opportunity to be part of that conversation. So we're going to be recording. I'm going to try it on one or two of them to see if it works. And if you do engage, if we don't get a response and people aren't that into it, then I'll keep doing what I'm doing. But I would love for you to be part of it. So head over to the Kona Edge Facebook group. If you'd like to get there now, it's thekonaedge.com/Facebook. It would redirect you straight there. And keep a lookout for the notifications. I'm going to have one or two scheduled fairly soon, and I look forward to you being a part of it. That's thekonaedge.com/Facebook. Today's Coach's Corner is brought to you by My Training Day Triathlon Academy, which was started in 2006 when Claire and Kent Horner realized their passion was helping other athletes reach their goals. My Training Day is home to online coaching, squad training, an online store, bike fitments, and nutrition assessments. What began with a handful of athletes has now grown exponentially, and Kent and Claire, along with nine other My Training Day coaches, coach more than 280 athletes both nationally and internationally. My Training Day affiliated with Joe Frill in 2014, allowing access to a world of knowledge from one of the world's best-known original coaches. My Training Day makes use of tools such as Best Bike Split, Trainer Roads, and Training Peaks for power analysis, as well as Coach's Eye for video analysis. Their passion lies in helping others realize their full potential and reach their goals. My Training Day caters for any athletes, from your complete novice right through to your elite athlete. To find out more about My Training Day Triathlon Academy, simply head over to mytrainingday.com, or to find out more, head over to thekonaedge.com/coaching. You can check them out there, as well as all our coaches in the Coach's Corner. And if you are a coach or have a coaching business and you'd like to be featured on the podcast and the website, simply head over to that URL, scroll right down to the bottom, and get all the details there. That's thekonaedge.com/coaching. You're listening to the Kona Edge, and I get to touch base with another fellow countryman here on the podcast today, and it's someone who I've followed their triathlon career over the last few years quite closely, and great to be able to catch up with Andre Peel. Andre, welcome onto the Kona Edge.
Yeah, thanks very much, Brad, and thanks for the invite. Oh, feels good to be interviewed. Feel like a pro.
Yeah, this one's quite weird for me, Andre, to be honest, because this one's obviously quite close to home. I've known you for a good few years. You're a colleague of my brother's, and you were sort of around when I started in the sport. So I've sort of seen what you've been up to, and I think this is going to be quite an interesting one. Two mates chatting, and let's see where it goes.
Yeah, no, thanks, Brad. No, I really appreciate it, man.
Andre, your sporting sort of background, and we're going to get into the triathlon side of things in a moment, but you've done a few different things. It hasn't always been triathlon.
No, not at all. I was never hugely talented in any one individual sport. I literally, through my school life and varsity and even post-varsity, pretty much participated in everything and anything, from tennis to squash to water skiing to rugby, soccer. In in the army, I made the national basketball team, and I just absolutely love sport. Some individual sports I've done better than others, but certainly in the last 20 odd years, triathlon has been my number one sport, and I've certainly excelled and really loved the 20 years of being part of this incredible sport.
I mean, you mentioned the team sports. Triathlon's very different. What do you prefer? I mean, do you prefer the sort of individualness of triathlon? Do you miss the camaraderie of team sports?
Brad, not really. I mean, at school level, as I say, and varsity level, and that where I did kind of do fairly well in some of the sports, were probably more team sports. But in all honesty, I do enjoy the individual sports more. You know, you got no one to blame but yourself, whether it goes well or not well. I mean, water skiing was another one where I achieved, had a provincial win and competed at national level. And again, you can only blame yourself when something goes wrong or goes right. And same as triathlon. I mean, I think all the sports, I think it's probably true for every sport, it's hard work and discipline. And if you don't put it in yourself, you can't rely on teammates. Even in a team sport, you got to, each individual's got to make it work. But yeah, to answer your question, I think if I had a preference, individual sports would be the way. If I had my life over, would probably be the way I'd go again.
Well, you've obviously got ability across the board. I mean, you have excelled in various sports. Tell me a little bit about your introduction to triathlon. Where did that start?
Yeah, it's funny enough. I kind of went through a divorce back in the mid-90s, where I was in my water skiing days. I actually lived out, you might know it, up here in Joburg, Hartbeespoort Dam. And I trained most mornings out there. Did a few other things as well, because water skiing, you need someone to always drive the boat. So again, I did canoeing, I did a bit of swimming in the dam and things like that. And then, I just one day saw this advert for Energade Triathlon, which was a very popular series back in the 90s and early 2000s, and entered my first one back in 1997, which was, if I'm not mistaken, was one of the first Energades on a hired bicycle. In Ramsach, up here in Johannesburg, and off I went. A few weeks later, another one, and then it took a couple of years. Ironman South Africa down in Cape Town in 2000 was my first kind of soiree into long distance. But even that was after only owning a bike for 5 weeks and literally a 5-week training program. So, interesting, but probably not advisable to do an Ironman after 5 weeks of training.
I'm not even going to ask you if I should consider April, but we won't go down that road. Well, I did swim this morning for the first time in ages, so it's going to be a long road. It's going to be a tough one. Andre, let's talk about that first Energade. How did it go? I mean, I've seen you race. You are a beast. Did you win that first one?
I didn't. I do remember, if I'm not mistaken, I've still got the results. I keep an album dating way back to 1997. Every triathlon I've competed in, I put photos and results and whatever. And I've still got the result sheet. I think Glenn Gore may have actually won that, or either Glenn or Reynard. Those were the days of those boys when they were youngsters. But no, I mean, I literally, as I say, I borrowed a bike on the Saturday and I competed on the Sunday. And I mean, I loved it. I did okay. I can't remember exactly where I came, but I just enjoyed it. And as I say, did another one a couple of weeks later. And I just found that, I wasn't exceptional at any of the three disciplines. I mean, my strongest discipline is certainly biking. But I'm a decent swimmer. I swam a fair amount at school. Funnily enough, I delivered newspapers on a bicycle for about 8 years, so maybe that's where my bike legs got developed. The running I've kind of worked on. It's probably my weakest discipline because of my size as well. But over the years, certainly 20 years later, I think I've developed into a decent triathlete.
I mean, if I had said to you 20 years ago that we'd be sitting here in 2018 and you'd be talking 20 years later about still being in the sport, having the sporting background that you've got, where you've done lots of different things, are you amazed that you've stuck around and seen this out for 20 years in one sport?
Sure, Brad. Yeah, I would say that certainly I am quite amazed. I think the secret is a little bit in the variety, i.e., you know, the swimming, cycling and running, and then every now and again when I've got injuries I get into the gym and stuff like that. But so I do think, you know, it's the multiple discipline that I really, really enjoy, that you're not kind of bound to one discipline and you're permanently in the pool or on the road. Or, you know, if I speak to guys who only do road running, I mean, I think I would I wouldn't have lasted. So I think there's certainly the sport of triathlon is incredible. And I mean, just the personalities and the people I've met in the sport over the years. I've been lucky enough to, you know, to meet even at world champ level, a chap called Daniel Unger, and training with him and other guys. And it's just, yeah, it's a good, clean sport. It's a sexy sport. It's been a big part of my life. And I'm grateful to have been able to compete for 20 years.
You've raced at some high levels as well. You mentioned world champs, and obviously you race in Kona in 2017 for the first time. Andre, in your mind, yeah, what does it take to race at world championship level, whether it be whatever distance, whether it's Olympic 70.3 or Ironman distance?
Yeah, Brad, I mean, again, you know, I've competed at, sprint distance. I've done Olympic distance quite a lot. I went to 3 world champs in that distance. I've been to 1 long distance world champ, which is quite different. Again, it's 4K swim, 120 bike and a 30 run. I've now managed to get to Kona. To me, it's the variety again. I don't stick to one discipline. I kind of set goals at the beginning of the year. And some years they're long distance goals, some years they're short distance goals. You know, I suppose I could consider myself lucky that I've got a decent combination of endurance and speed. But in the years that I pick my races, I also will, you know, adapt my training towards those disciplines a bit. What does it take? I mean, it takes a lot of discipline. And it does take time. You know, I do say to people who want to get into the sport that, yes, you may finish your first Ironman after, you know, 6 months of getting into the sport, or a year or 2 years. But to really start kind of developing as a triathlete and I suppose being up there to, you know, to get onto a podium takes time. You know, these sports, your body needs to adapt. Probably the one sport that I would say takes the longest to adapt to is probably the cycling. And that's where most people think that's the easiest part. But funny enough, the swimming to me is, you know, especially in the longer distances. I mean, whether you come out in 58 minutes or you come out in 105, that's not where your day is made or broken. So it's really on the cycle, and obviously on the long distances, your run is critical. It's I would say it's time, it's discipline, and it's hard work and certainly sacrifice. You know, if you want to be, you know, half decent at the sports, there are sacrifices to be made. So I think that's probably in any sport.
Andre, having been around the sport for quite a while, and I mean, you did your first Ironman in the early days, and you've probably had the ability to do what it takes to get to Kona. Why only 2017? What was the? I mean, was it a case of just timing wasn't right, or what's the story? What took you so long to get there?
Funny enough, I mean, I suppose most triathletes' dream is Kona, but it was never my kind of be-all and end-all. You know, I always thought, yeah, I want to go, and you know, but never really kind of went for it. And then when I signed on with a coach, Lucy Zelenkova, and you know, she kind of said, you know, you've got the talent, Kona's should be a given for you. I mean, it still took hard work, but then I kind of like speaking to more athletes and some of her athletes that had been and other guys, and suddenly the enormity of the event, yeah, really took its you know, grabbed me, I suppose. And then I said, okay, you know, let's go out and specifically go for Kona. Years gone by, I've decided I want to go to, you know, a short distance world champ. I wanted to go to Roth, which is known or has been voted. I think it's last year was the fifth year in a row as the best triathlon in the world. So I've just set other goals and never really made Kona my be-all and end-all. And then, 18-odd months ago, I decided, okay, Kona is my goal. And, yeah, went and qualified. And, wow, it certainly was an experience worth being part of.
Did it live up to expectations? Often when you have a race, and you mentioned Roth, Roth obviously delivers, but you look at a race like Kona and people put it on this pedestal. Is it everything that you expected it would be?
Brad, again, I'm going to be totally honest. You know, Kona to me, and having been there now, is purely like an athlete experience. In my view, you go there because of the aura around the event, because everyone hypes it up, because it's world champs, because the best in the world from every Ironman and, you know, around the globe get there. You know, all these incredible stories about Kona and the heat and the humidity and the wind and, you know, the black lava fields. And it's more around that. I mean, if you're going there and you're expecting a great vibe, it's not that. There's a vibe amongst athletes that is, you know, it's difficult to explain. It's this whole, you get off the aeroplane and, you know, you can just see you're amongst the best in the world. You know, everyone is in the shape of their lives. And it's just an incredible place to be as an athlete. But don't think you're going to run down Ali Drive at the finish and there's thousands of people, because there aren't. They'd rather go to PE in South Africa or Roth, you know, in Germany. And because it's not about that, it is purely this kind of inspirational place to be. You know, you're in the training pool the week before, and I mean, Jan Frodeno was in the lane next to me and I had a chat to him. You know, it's little things like that make Kona and this mystical island so special. That to me is what I found I came back with. It's just about the athlete. It's everyone who goes there because they want to kind of be part of this showpiece where the best in the world go.
From a race experience itself, you mentioned there's not, yes, there is this mystical thing about the race, but as an athlete and getting to test yourself against the best in the world on the day, all on the same course, that must be pretty cool as well. And from a race experience, how did you go?
Yeah, again, Brad, and that is, again, what it's about. It's the race, it's the athlete. So, you know, that nervousness at the start, which I think we all experience, you know, any Ironman, you're standing there on the shore ready for, you know, what's going to be, you know, a long, big day. Those same vibes, but just more elevated. You feel at Kona. Once you get into the swim, I had a great swim at Kona. I relaxed. The sea is beautiful. You kind of see fish. I hooked onto a guy's feet that, you know, we swam very well together. So I had a good start to the day. And the island, the race is just, it is the ultimate test in my view. I mean, maybe places like Lanzarote are probably more difficult. But just Hawaii is, everything you get on the day is going to be a surprise, because I was there for 2 weeks before and, you know, you had some mornings which are dead calm and you think this is the most beautiful place to be. And by 10 o'clock that morning, it's 35, 36 degrees and the wind's blowing. So it just, you never, ever know what you're going to get. And I think in that, it really is an incredible test for every athlete. You know, some people say that the cycle course is actually relatively easy in terms of the terrain. Well, it might be, but boy, oh boy, you know, with 6,000 feet of climbing, it adds up after 180 kilometers. And then you add the wind and the heat and, the mental aspect of, you know, what's still to come in the run. And people talk about the energy lab and that you're going to literally fry in there. And, you know, you hear stories before. And I think that's what what events are built on. I mean, events are built on tradition and on stories about the event. That's what makes events so incredible. It's the stories behind it. And you certainly, when you're there and you're living it, and while you're racing, you know, in those long hours, your mind does go and, you know, you think about stories that you've heard, and yeah, you are experiencing it yourself. Damn hard, but something that every person, I think, who has been there should treasure. And you'll probably remember the most minute details, during points of the day.
Andre, as far as the logistics of getting to Kona, we've got a very big international audience here on the podcast, a lot in the United States. But as far as you can go in the sort of opposite direction to Kona on the planet, South Africa is probably on the opposite end of the world. Tell me about your trip to get to Kona. What was the travel arrangements like? Tell me about that.
Yeah, the Americans and the Australians, and they don't know how easy they've got it to get to Kona. All the guys, even the guys from the UK. I mean, I met a few on the plane, or, you know, once you get there, and they're all complaining about how long it is, and then you tell them how long it took you. So it took me about, on the way there, about 48 hours to get there, literally. I went South Africa, London, all the way up San Francisco, and then San Francisco, Kona. So it doesn't seem, you know, too bad, but 11 odd hours to London, and then a few hours stopover. Then I think it was 16 hours to San Francisco. You know, each time you know, you're not really getting the sleep. I'm a tall guy, you know, economy class, so squashed, knees getting sore, things like that. So you get there, and you put it this way, you're rather glad that you're there. But once I did get there, you know, the arrival, it's not your kind of typical arrival you see on movies with the ladies greeting you with a ring of flowers around your neck. Unfortunately, you just get there. I got there quite late at night, and you step off the aeroplane and you hope that your bike is still in one piece. And we got a lift on the back of a bucky, or a pickup, as they call it there, to our Airbnb. So, by the time we got there, it was about 56 hours and after leaving South Africa. So, pretty tired once you get there. But I think, you know, getting there well in advance is certainly advisable. I think that theory of one day for every hour's time difference, certainly when you're coming from South Africa and it's a 12-hour time difference, I think you need the 12 days to get ready for Kona.
Now that you've done it, is it out of your system, or do you feel like you've got unfinished business and you want to go back?
I'm someone who loves new races and new experiences. I've now been to Kona. Did I have the best race of my life? No. Am I disappointed? Absolutely not. Do I like desperately want to go back? No. You know, do I ever want to go back? Probably. Not in the next couple of years. There's a couple of other races I want to do around the world. I mean, I just think a triathlon, there are so many awesome, exciting races, and destinations are becoming more important as opposed to just the place, and destinations even for a family is important. I mean, as all triathletes, I think even the pros will tell you, you know, your support base is just as important as anything else, so you need to kind of try and incorporate the family. And if the wife and kids, you know, if you can make a holiday of it and have a good race somewhere, then why not? And, you know, Hawaii is not a family place. It's a difficult decision. It's a rather selfish thing, and it takes a hell of a lot of time. And as I say, for us South Africans, an incredibly long way to go.
Andre, let's talk about that support base. And I know your wife as well, and she's quite a high-powered exec, as you are. You've got kids. How do you get the balance right and keep all the balls in the air and do the work you need to do to be competitive?
In all honesty, Brad, I mean, it's, you know, there is sacrifice to be made. And I mean, us non-pros, you know, we have a job. most of us, and unfortunately you can't sacrifice on the job. You know, it's if you, especially if you're working for a corporate, if you're working for yourself, you know you can probably structure your hours a bit better, but in a corporate environment you've got to put in what needs to be done. So the sacrifice generally in terms of the balance comes from the family. I'm incredibly lucky. I mean, yes, my wife is also the managing director of a big company, and you know, she gives me the time and the space. It's not always easy. There are certainly sacrifices, and it's often not kind of the Saturday mornings of 5-6 hour training. It's the fact that on the Friday night, I don't want to do anything. And you just got to try and find the balance, you know, and not let it totally take your life over. Easier said than done, because when you're training for Kona for six months, it generally does take over your life. You know, but I think then you also got to be honest and upfront, and you know, with the kids and with the wife, and say, look, this is the case. This is the goal I've set myself, and for the next 6 months, it's going to be hard. And then hopefully you've got an understanding family, and you know, they support you in that. But it's not always easy. Those of you who are married, the arguments will happen, but hopefully the relationship is strong enough to get through it.
Andre, also the company you work for, there's quite a, especially amongst the top execs, there's quite a culture of endurance sport, not just Ironman, but there's some long distance runners of guys that you work with. It obviously also helps having an, I don't want to say an understanding employer, but someone who gets it.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I think these days, you know, organizations and big corporates also understand that, you know, quality of life and life balance is just as important. I mean, the money being invested at the corporate level, you know, for health and well-being of their employers is big. So, you know, if they have employees that are actually willing to look after themselves in some way or find a balance, as opposed to, you know, trying to force them to do something or to live their lives better. I mean, we know what insurance and medical companies are doing as well to incentivize people to try and live healthier lives. So, you know, I think in some ways, maybe not to the extreme that I'm doing it, and that some, you know, the Ironman and triathletes in terms of the time spent are doing it, but there is generally, I think, an understanding in the corporate world that, you know, living a healthier life is probably ultimately beneficial to the employee.
Andre, as far as the coaching side of things go, you mentioned that when you finally decided you wanted to give Kona a bash, you sort of hooked up with Lucy Zelenkova to get the help you needed. Have you, right throughout your triathlon career, have you sort of been coached, or have you been self-coached? What's the deal?
No, I mean, I've literally for 18 years, I was self-coached. I read a couple of books, you know, training programs, you download a few things off the internet. For 18 years, that's how I went about it. And I'm kind of old school, you know, no pain, no gain. So, yeah, I used to push myself to ridiculous levels. And most people just, you know, always said, how do you get the results you do? But I trained, you know, to get those results like that. But I think, you know, as age catches up, and I mean, I have realized over the years, it's not just about pain, you know, there is clever ways of training. And certainly with time being limited and age catching up, I think one has to train a little bit more cleverly. I mean, saying that, it's certainly, you know, a coach like Lucy, I think she's known as pretty hardcore. So, you know, don't think you can sign up with a coach and it gets easier. It certainly doesn't. It just, I think, became a bit more structured. And I don't think I suddenly saw massive jumps in my performance. But I think found a bit of consistency. And where I did have a couple of weaknesses, I think I got a bit better. And I mean, since I've been with her, besides Kona, I hadn't missed a podium in 70.3s and standard distance races and whatever. So I certainly think it has benefited me.
I've got a funny story about Lucy Zelenkova, and I hope she doesn't mind me telling this, but it was a good few years ago. We were in Port Elizabeth for Ironman South Africa, and I was out on a short little run along the beachfront a day or two before race day, and her whole squad came running down And I stopped and chatted to one of my friends who was in the squad who was going for a Kona slot that year. And I jokingly said, and Lucy was there as well, I jokingly said that the only way I'm going to get to Kona is if I outlive everyone in my age group. And she looked me up and down and she said in her East German accent or East European accent, she said to me, I could get you to Kona, but you would have to listen.
I think she's great. She is pretty hardcore. But yeah, I mean, I think she gets some good results. And again, I mean, you know, and if anybody's thinking of signing up with a coach, to me, it's a very personal thing. Coaches do things in different ways. They have different methodologies. But you know, it's how you get on with a coach, and if that specific coach works for you and gets you the results you want or the enjoyment you want out of it, then good for you. You know, I don't think there's one coach that does it all in the best possible way. So you know, Lucy's worked for me, and I enjoy her kind of style. So yeah, we'll see where we go with it.
Yeah, she's absolutely no nonsense. I love that about her as well. And next for you, what's the plan? Now that I know you've taken a bit of time off after Kona, you have been struggling with a bit of an injury as well. What's the prognosis and what's the plan?
Brad, for now, yeah, I mean, it's funny enough, it's probably the first year in many years that I've started the year January without, like, you know, a goal in triathlon. So I just want to get over this injury. I mean, it's been incredibly frustrating. It stopped me from training my running, building up to Kona as well, which obviously was a big disappointment. But it's still bugging me, you know, 3 months later. So it's literally been about 6-7 months now. So I want to go get over this injury 100% before I make any major commitments. But yeah, I mean, it's certainly in the back of my mind. 70.3 World Champs South Africa is still there. I just timing's obviously going to be critical. But I mean, even if if it takes me till March, let's say, to get over this injury, you know, I'll go and do Durban 70.3. Hopefully, qualify there, and then yeah, I mean, 70.3 is probably, according to myself and Lucy, my best discipline. You know, it's not quite the distances of Ironman where I generally struggle on the run. But yeah, I have the speed and the power. So it's certainly, I got up to number 4 ranking in the world last year in the 70.3 distance. So that's certainly, I think, my best distance. So if I was to go for a podium at a World Champs, then that would be the distance. So we'll see, you know, where the South Africa PE is still on the cards.
And how cool would that be to be able to do it on home soil, on a course that you know quite well?
Yeah, I mean, I lived in PE for 2 years. That stretch along the beach there past the university is probably still one of my favorite routes anywhere in the world that I've cycled. So yeah, I mean, to be able to compete, you know, at world champ level, you know, at home would be awesome. But yeah, I don't want to kind of get my hopes up. I need to see what happens, because I think I really need to be in top form. And I mean, people laugh, but I'm now at the back end of the 45 to 49 age group. So if I wait a year and a half, you know, I can be right in the beginning of the 50 age group. So, but yeah, we'll see how the next couple of months goes. I mean, I certainly would still love to give PE a shot, purely because it's on home soil.
Well, I hope we haven't put anybody off with the amount of travelling it takes to get here for Ironman 70.3 Worlds in September, but it is worth it. Let's just put it out there. PE is an amazing place to race. The crowds are amazing, and the whole city just shuts down for that weekend. It is awesome. It's one of my favourite places to race, and I'm sure it is yours as well, Andre.
Yeah, I mean, PE does have a special vibe. I mean, I've been lucky enough to race in quite a few places around the world, and yeah, PE is a special place. The crowds really do come out. That kind of South African hospitality and braaiing and kind of drinking on the side of the road and supporting, and it would be awesome. And I know at Kona they showed a little clip of PE and the 70.3 World Champs, and they certainly made it look good, but it is that good. So for anyone who is thinking of coming, make an effort. It's a good place to come to, and you can certainly do more than just race. It's a great place to be in South Africa, and some nice holiday activities as well.
And the exchange rate's pretty favorable too. If you're coming in with dollars or pounds, you can live like a king here spending in rand.
Yeah, absolutely. That was a downside of coming from South Africa and going across and paying everything in dollars.
Absolutely. Andre, it's been great catching up. I look forward to delving into the individual disciplines, but we'll save that for another time here on the Kone. Thanks for your time today.
Thanks very much, Brad. Much appreciated.
This episode of the Kone Edge is brought to you by the Wahoo Kicker. Whether you're looking for the accuracy and control of a direct drive bike trainer or the flexibility and convenience of a wheel-on solution, Kicker and Kicker Snap are two distinct indoor training solutions. Kicker Indoor Trainer's large flywheel uses new algorithms to improve responsiveness and better replicate the sensation of riding on the road. So whether free riding or using online platforms like Zwift and TrainerRoad, you'll have the same experience you feel on your favorite outdoor rides. To check out their phenomenal range, head over to thekonaedge.com/indoor. That's thekonaedge.com/indoor. And that is it for this edition of the Kone Edge. Thank you very much to Andre for sharing his story with us today. Andre, it was great to catch up, and I look forward to chatting a little bit about your swim, because you're an absolute machine in the water. But we'll save that for next week, Thursday. Make sure you listen to that. Before I go, a quick iTunes review. Thank you to Lucas Urbano, who left the review for us, saying very useful, nice and very useful content for those who love triathlon. Short and sweet, Lucas. But I appreciate the vote of confidence. And if you haven't left us an iTunes review yet, please do. It really bumps us up in the rankings and helps other people find us, and other triathletes just like you get to share in this community that I've absolutely fallen in love with. And I'm sure you have as well. So if you wouldn't mind doing that, I would appreciate it massively. Until tomorrow, from myself, Brad Brown, you have yourself a great Wednesday. Cheers.
We hope you enjoyed this episode of the Kone Edge. Don't forget to connect with us on social media. Simply search for the Kone Edge.